And we're joined right now. He's been in the studio.
He has.
For a few minutes, but now we actually have him, his microphone potted up.
There you go.
And that's Bob Fenwick, and it's so nice to have you in the studio again. You know, in the past, you've been on more official reasons to be on the Roadhouse, but tonight, it's still official, but it's a little bit different, and that's Bob Fenwick played Major League Baseball in 1972 and 73 for the Houston Astros and then the St. Louis Cardinals. Prior to that, he played for the University of Minnesota. And Bob, you had an experience too that you actually played against.
Bob and I played against each other. He went to Anoka High School. I went to South St. Paul. And then I was talking to my brother this afternoon, Bob. My brother Jim.
Okay. Yes.
And I said, this guy that lives up here and played Major League Baseball. And he said, who's that? And I said, Bob Fenwick. Oh, yeah, Anoka Tornadoes.
I think I remember looking at Jim. I was laying on the ground as he was doing the single wing around the St. Paul end, and I was on my back watching him run over me, if I remember right.
So you must have been a junior when I was a senior.
That sounds right.
You graduated in 64?
64,
yeah,
yes.
That's right.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's the old connection.
Now, Bob, you were known, and we would have never known this, but by looking on the computer, as Bobby Fenwick in your Major League Baseball career. Is that right, or is that just what they put out there?
Well, of course that's wrong.
Okay.
You know, back in those days, that was a pretty normal thing.
It was.
And I'm thinking back to the types of players that were there. It was Billy Martin and Bobby Fenwick. And so, yes, I think we really enjoyed that. And my wife has kept me young by continuing to call me that today.
She still calls you
Bobby. Especially
when
she's angry. Yes.
Okay.
And so will all the rest of people who are listening to this show.
Yes, they can do that now.
They certainly can. You know, Bob, when I was young, it's sort of like every young boy's impossible dream is to be in the major leagues. I mean that, and I really mean that. My dad and I would listen on the radio since I was a little guy, and then when we could watch TV, when they were very infrequent times we could ever get a major league game up here to watch. What was that like for you? Was that the same thing? I mean, you actually lived that dream, but what was it like when you were young?
It was the same. And in fact, my baseball history, the part of playing and working at it, really kind of goes back to Duluth, Minnesota. We moved to Duluth, Minnesota back in about 1958. And at that time, Duluth had a great baseball program going. The Duluth Dukes were there. People were coming through that area like Hank Aaron and so forth in those days. And I was lucky enough to have gotten aligned with a coach by the name of Don Derbyshire in Duluth, who coached at the Good Fellowship Club in Morgan Park. And it was really a sensational program. I got involved with that. He was the one that got me first into really learning how to play baseball, the fundamentals of the game. What that brings up about Minnesota, though, is that I think we're here tonight celebrating the fact that the Twins are going to be opening a new ballpark and so forth. But what Minnesota has and what I got the good fortune to be a part of is a tremendous tradition in baseball. You know, we go back to the Southern Mini League, the leagues around Wadena and those areas, and still the park board teams that are in Minneapolis and so forth. These are really, really good baseball teams. And Minnesota should be very proud, and I think is very proud of its tradition. So I think, yes, because of that tradition, my desire from the time I was a little tyke would be to be a Louis Aparicio was my dream at that time. And I was lucky enough to achieve at least a part of that.
And you were saying, you know, our tradition here in Minnesota with baseball, we have a big disadvantage in that it certainly isn't a year-round game, and it's a little later spring. I know you played for the U of M and had to go play teams down in Texas and places where they'd been playing long before you could even start up here. But yet, Minnesota did very well.
It was the tradition, and it was a man named Dick Siebert, who at the University of Minnesota created a program that was second to none in the entire nation. And even though for the 2 years that I was on the varsity team at the University of Minnesota, when we would go on our spring trip to Texas, we had never had one day outside practicing. We went down to Texas, and I would bet our record, if we played 14 games in those 2 years, I'll bet our record was about 13-1. And it was because of the coaching and the capability that Dick Siebert brought. The honest truth is that the guys that came out of the University of Minnesota and moved into pro ball, probably the ranks of AA ball, were better equipped to play the game, knowing how to play the game, than even the kids who came from California. And I attribute that to the University of Minnesota and Dick Siebert, and their tradition has been carried on by Anderson, too, because of that.
Yep. Mm-hmm. You know, in football, you can kind of attribute a lot of a person's ability to, you know, they're big. They're powerful. They're extremely fast. In baseball, it's a lot more complicated than that.
It is, but let's be honest, there is no substitute for strength. And the fact that I spent 72 and 73 in the big leagues and no longer is a testament to the fact that strength does make a difference. Uh-huh. I can tell you that.
Yeah.
But yes, I think if anybody could call a game cerebral in any way, I think baseball follows that. And I still enjoy, I'll be honest, I don't watch as much of the baseball season as I used to, but when the playoffs come, I watch it intently. And I have a great time trying to guess along with the managers and the players and the pitchers of what pitch they're going to throw, where the guy's going to hit it, whether this guy's going to hit and run, all of that. That I really enjoy, and I hope people everywhere, if they like baseball, get into that part of it, because that's what keeps you interested in that game.
I know the Twins are just, everybody realizes that they play the game the right way. That's what you always hear since Tom Kelly and prior to him, and you know, now with Gardenhire, it seems like, but players want to play for the Twins. They want to play like the Twins.
You're exactly right. I played against Tom Kelly when I was in, it was about 1971, and the guys like that who came up to the big leagues in terms of managing are the best. Tom Kelly, in my book, needs to go to the Hall of Fame as one of the best managers in baseball. What he did for the Twins and what his legacy is truly outstanding. And with the teams that they gathered at that time, what he did with those players was great. And what I'll say about the Twins organization has always been true, too. If you're a player in the Twins organization, you have an opportunity to go to the Twins big leagues. That's the way they build their team. Not every team does that. I venture to say that if you're in the Yankees organization in the minor leagues, you might say to yourself, who knows where I may end up, because I'll get to the AAA level and all of a sudden they'll go out and buy somebody to play my role in the big leagues. Not so with the Twins. Any kid who's playing in the Twins minor leagues, I think, truly believes he has a chance to get the big leagues with the Twins.
Yeah. I always wondered about the minor leagues. You know, the Duluth Dukes, you could go down and watch, and I saw some of the players there that later on were playing for Detroit. What was that like to play in the minor leagues? You came from the U of M, and did you go right into minor leagues in baseball?
I went from the University of Minnesota to Decatur, Illinois, and I can't tell you what I thought of Decatur, Illinois. To play at the University of Minnesota and then go to A-ball is a step down in terms of lifestyle and those types of things. It is truly a step down. It was the most miserable summer of playing baseball that I had ever spent. But if it does nothing else but make you desirous of moving up, because the benefits of moving up are there. Not only do you get the chance to play in the big leagues at some point, but to change your style of where you are playing is truly a motivation. So the good side is that's there as part of a motivation. The bad side is you don't want to play there forever at all. It is tough in the minor leagues. Yeah. $3 a day meal money is what I was getting in those days.
Wow.
Now, excuse me. Go ahead. Is it the same? Now, you went up, you went through A and then I think AA and up finally to AAA with Phoenix. Does it get better? I mean, do the A's count for something?
You bet. There are fellows who play in AAA for ages. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are people who have played in AAA ball for 10, 15 years. They usually are there because they're the kind of guy that can help the young fellow coming up. But it is a comfortable enough place to play overall that, yes, it's really worth getting to that level of ball. It's pretty nice.
It kind of leads into what I was going to go to next, and that is, in the minor leagues, I'm sure you see guys that are on their way up, like you were on your way up, and then guys that are on their way down, or as you mentioned, they're there. They're happy to be there, maybe.
They are.
Yeah.
If you have the opportunity to play baseball at any point, if you love the game, even if you're in the minor leagues, it's worth it. And every minor league team, do you remember that old show, Bull Durham?
Oh, yeah.
One of the best ever, right?
Yeah.
On that team was some of the old guy who was there to mentor the young people coming up. And every minor league team has one or two of those players. And they're needed because the mentoring process in a situation like pro ball is definitely necessary. So, yeah, those guys stick around.
When you moved up into the majors, you got a chance to play. You'd been in spring trainings prior to that at the major league level?
What happens is you get put on contract, and what they do is they'll put you on a major league contract, and they get to option you out to the minor leagues for a certain number of years. So I was on a major league contract. The first year I went to spring training with the Giants, and in those years, those first 2 years, I got sent back to play at Phoenix, but I was under a major league contract. That's the way they operate there.
Mm-hmm. I kind of lost my spot there. So when you first moved up then, you had an idea. It wasn't like, I see these guys now trying to play for the Twins, and they don't know if they're going to stay after spring training.
That's correct.
I mean, they may have options left, or maybe they don't, or they disappear. What were your impressions when you moved up? I mean, did you think, hey, I got it made, or is this going to be a...
Not at all. I had the opportunity to be traded from the San Francisco Giants organization to Houston in the winter season. And I knew I was going to Houston trying to compete for a job as a utility-type infielder. And that's tough. I knew what my strengths were. You go there, you know that there's a certain number of ball players on the team that are fixed. That's an absolute. You know there are a few guys that are going to have a chance. The first thing you look at when you get to spring training is what number they gave you. Thank God my number wasn't low enough that I thought, oh, I have no chance at all. So my number was pretty good. But it came down to, I was just thinking about this the other day as I was talking to someone. It literally came down to, at the end of spring training, I went up against a guy named Simpson from the Cincinnati Reds. Big, big, tall pitcher, was having a really good spring training, and it was a fixture at the Cincinnati Reds organization. And I came up to the plate late in spring training with a guy in third base. And I'm looking out there, and this Simpson is so big, it's like he's handing you the ball when he throws it to you. And I get a chance to take a couple of strikes, and finally he throws one in where I can handle it, and I hit it literally down the right field line, barely got around on it, but hit it far enough that the guy from third scored. And it was that single thing through all of spring training that put me on that baseball team, that the one time I had the opportunity to deliver, I got it. And it really came down to that one time that, in fact, my coach came up to me, a guy named Hub Kittle, and walked up to me and says, thank you. Because he'd been touting me, and he said, that's what put you on the team. So literally, you are on pins and needles through all of spring training, hoping against hope that you're the one that gets picked. So,
when we talk about football, you know, it seems like rookies go up there and they talk about the speed of the game and how much faster it is, how much harder it is to play at that level. In baseball, what is the, is it the pitching? Is it, again, the speed? What's the major difference when you get up there?
It is absolutely the pitching. Even at the AAA level, you can go from team to team that you go to visit, and of the four starting pitchers in the rotation, maybe two are pretty good caliber, and maybe one is a major league caliber pitcher. You make that step to the big leagues, and of the four pitchers you're facing, or the four or five in the rotation, four of them are major league quality pitchers. And anybody who says that, oh gosh, they just know how to throw the ball across the plate, and they've got good breaking balls and things like that, they throw just as hard down the minor leagues, that's bunk. These guys in the big leagues over and over again, for the most part, are bringing you 85 to 90 mile an hour fastballs all the time. Mm-hmm. So it is a big change. It is definitely the pitching. The defense also comes into play. The first thing I noticed that when I got there, balls that I was hitting into the hole to short that I usually would have beat out in AAA ball and things like that, all of a sudden that ball was getting there just a half a step quicker than it was before. So it is a major step. I guess that's why they call it the major leagues, huh?
You must have had a lot of experiences playing next to or playing against or just even seeing some of the great players in the game at that time. Who made the impressions on you, and you got any stories for us about guys that you really enjoyed being around?
I am lucky enough to have played, and this is why I look back as my past, at a change in time. My first day in spring training at the major league level, my locker was right near Willie Mays. So I had a chance to be in the locker room with Willie Mays, Willie McCovey, Juan Marichal. Those are the guys who I first went to spring training in the big leagues with. That was phenomenal because those are people that you heard about when you were in high school and you followed them and you watched them play, and that was really tremendous. The best pitcher I ever faced while I was there for having the best stuff was a guy named Steve Carlton. And you guys may remember Steve Carlton.
That was St. Louis Cardinals?
He was played with the Cardinals, and I think he ended up with Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. And I faced him at Philadelphia, and I don't want to tell you how he made me look on three pitches at Philadelphia. It was just awful. He started at my waist, went to my letters, and I think the next pitch was in my eyes, and I still swung. I said, I don't want to be up here anymore. But he was the best. The most competitive pitcher I ever had a chance to see was a fellow by the name of Bob Gibson. Yeah. And then when I went to St. Louis, I got to be on the same team with Bob Gibson. And on my left, this is the God's truth, and I will never forget these. On my left, on my locker, was a fellow by the name of Joe Torre. On my right was a fellow by the name of Tim McCarver. I had Bob Gibson on the pitching staff that I was playing with there. I mean, this was like heaven. And you cannot help, even though you finally made it to the big leagues, to not sit there and be in awe of these people who have been there forever and have done it. To watch Joe Torre manage today and know what kind of a gentleman he was, what kind of a ball player he was, is just great to see. I even saw Bob Gibson was on the air the other day talking about the competitiveness of himself and the issues that he and Curt Flood had back mm-hmm. in those days of the real changes that were taking place in baseball. That was the era I was in, and I really thank my lucky stars for that. Another era thing that changed was the first year that I got a chance to move to the big leagues was the first year we had a strike in baseball.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Yeah.
And it was right at opening day, and it was all about the changes that were taking place and how to use TV money for pensions and things. There were some good things that came about because of that. I'll be honest, I voted against the strike. We all had a chance to vote, and maybe it was because I was a rookie and I did want to be out there on opening day. I don't know. But some good things happened because of that union. The good things happened because of free agency, but I can look back and say, you know, there were some things that weren't so good either because of that happening. I think of the Twins and Calvin Griffith and how families used to have baseball teams, and you'd think of players as being playing on the same team for years and years and years, and you thought of Mickey Mantle, you thought of the Yankees, you thought of Harmon Killebrew, you thought of the Twins. Free agency changed that, and I think for the worse. The other part that has happened, you know, the fact that these guys are getting paid good money and getting what they're worth and all that kind of thing, that was a good thing to happen too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it sure changed all of baseball, as you said. And are there other things? One thing that comes to my mind is what steroids have done to that game and in a game that lives by stats. Mm-hmm. What's your thoughts on that,
though? I think that's sad. We had our problem with different kinds of drugs back when I was playing. Marijuana was the obvious one, and then what we always called uppers and downers. Mm-hmm. Those were the big things back in our days. I was not aware of steroid use when I was playing ball. This took away an integrity part of the game that is too bad that it went away. And so many things became tainted because of it. I, for one, being played there back in those days and seeing what has happened, I'm really disappointed that this ever took place.
Yeah. Is there anything you think that they can do to make people happy about that? I mean, should they be putting asterisks by people's records? Should they forget it and just let the game flow? Or how do you deal with it now to keep those people that that love the old game happy about their players?
You know, I guess the honest truth, you got to put some of the blame on the owners and the owners' association, and maybe a little bit on the players' association. But if the owners have allowed this to happen, and let's be honest, they knew it, mm-hmm. and they're out there trying to make money. They're out there, they want their guys to perform. They want to bring people into the ballpark and all those types of things. If they're going to allow it, if they're going to just kind of overlook it, there is something wrong about putting an asterisk by it, because these guys were being allowed to do it and they were competing against fellows at the same time they were doing it. Does it taint a record that is created today of 70 home runs versus the 60 of Babe Ruth and the 61 of Roger Maris? Absolutely. There's no doubt about that in my mind. But you can't just fault the player here. I mean, you can't fault him for the salaries he's getting. You can't fault him for all those things. The owners and the owners association have a great deal to play in this.
Mm-hmm. You bet. And their greed.
Yes, and their greed. Absolutely.
When you got out of baseball, Bob, how did that game follow you? How did that affect your life after you're out of the game?
For a while, it does. I mean, because of the proximity of the people and the people who recognize you. And I stayed with baseball and stayed in umpiring and did all kinds of things for a while. Sooner or later, it leaves you in a real, real sense. And also from the standpoint of how you live your life beyond that, if it doesn't contribute to what you're actually doing in your workplace, then it really has been, in some respects, a detriment. Because what it did is it took 8, 10, 15, whatever many years you were in baseball, it took you away from the, let's call it the real world, so to speak. And there is some disadvantage there. On the other hand, I wouldn't have traded it for anything. And I'm glad I had the chance to go through it. And I'm glad I had a dad who said, you know, not many people get a chance to pursue this. I'll help you get there. And if you get the chance, go. I'm glad he said that to me, because it could never be replaced.
And as a young man or a young lady, being in sports definitely does, in my mind at least, it gives you a big boost.
It does. But I would encourage, you know, Grand Marais has a great sports history. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the things that all these kids in sports, even in the Twin Cities, and it really kind of bothers me. I'll put it this way. When I coached my kids in baseball back in fourth and fifth grade, I had to have one rule, and I only did have one rule, and that was if you showed up in August to baseball practice with your hockey uniform on, you had to go home.
Oh.
I thought to myself, you know, these kids have so much talent and so much ability. They don't need to be so specialized. And somebody asked me a question once after I got out of baseball and made me think. And the question was, when did you first start specializing in a sport? Because I was football, basketball, baseball in high school. And I had to think about that for a moment, but the honest answer became for me when it meant money. The first time that I said, yep, I'm going to concentrate on baseball and that is going to be it, was the opportunity I had to go to the University of Minnesota on scholarship. And that was the first time that I had even seasons overlap. So I encourage kids, and I encourage my own kids, when one season's over, move on. Go to the next one.
Yep.
Yeah.
And play more than one.
There has been a lot, too, that's changed in sports, and it starts at a young age in that we don't see neighborhoods where kids just get together and just start playing. It's all organized now.
And it's tough in Cook County. You have so far to go to get to a basketball hoop to play together. But we had the chance in Anoka to have a very good basketball team for a couple of years down there. And our coach always used to tell us, you could always tell the town that was going to be good in basketball in a few years by the number of hoops there were on the garages.
Yeah.
And
you
cannot replace that. It was the same for Duluth when I was there.
Yeah. We've been speaking with Bob Fenwick, and many of you out there think of Bob first as a Cook County commissioner, but you know a little bit more about him now. He spent 2 years in 72 and 73 in the major leagues and a few years before that in the minor leagues, and that's in baseball, and that was, I imagine, your dream as well as mine.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, I want to go back to just real quickly one thing when you talked about some of the leagues that were in Minnesota. There was a great book that came out a couple of years ago called Town Ball and documented all these wonderful leagues. In fact, my dad played in the Southern Mini for Albert Lee and later signed out of there into the St. Louis Cardinal organization.
Yep.
That was incredible baseball.
Great baseball players came through those leagues.
Yeah.
And the townspeople supported. I mean, they're still down there today. You can drive on some of those roads and go out to those. I ran into a fellow from Arlington the other day, and you go to places like Perm. You don't think about this, but there's people supporting baseball like crazy in those places.
Well, Bob, we want to thank you so much for coming
Bobby,
in. You
know,
what a great time.
Bobby.
I stayed away from Bobby because he's still our commissioner, Bob.
God,
if everybody would call me Bobby in that role, that'd be great, too.
Yeah. Thanks again for sharing your time and your stories, and we wish we could chat more. We have to talk to Kevin Smith here pretty soon, and he's still in the game at a different level.
Real pleasure to be here. Thanks so much.
Thanks so much
for thinking about this.